We have what we need, and we need what we have. That is the message of Bhagavad Gita. We have what we need, everybody understands. Yes, I need something, and the Lord provides it. And that is the attitude of gratitude. Santushta satatam yogi, Sri Krishna says in the 12th chapter, that a yogi is ever santushta, ever content with what the Lord has given him. Does not mean you don't work hard. You work hard, but at the end of the day, this attitude of gratitude, oh Lord, thank you for what you have given me, that is very important. So, we have what we need, we understand. But the second part, we need what we have. And that is something that we need to think. And Bhagavan explains in the Gita, he says that whatever situation you have been placed in, whatever problems you have, whether it's a joy or a sorrow or a health or an ill health, that's what you needed. It's not a punishment, but it is a way for us to evolve. So take every opportunity, whether good or bad, every problem, every situation, that it is a way for the Lord is giving me a reminder. Eckhart Tolle calls them alarm clocks, that these are meant to wake up. Because we are all in this dream of this world of ignorance. And through this situation, I need to wake up. So we have what we need, and we need what we have. So that is the message of the Bhagavad Gita. I thought this is something useful for us. So this fourth chapter is called Karma Sannyas Yogaha, which we have done 16 verses. Just to summarize, it starts with the Lord telling us that this message of this yoga, of this Bhagavad Gita, was given by me to the sun god and to all the rishis. So the idea is that this knowledge originated from the Lord himself. And the Lord says that I, even though I am unborn, I appear on earth. Even though I am akarta, I am a non-doer, I do actions. And as we see, Bhagavan Krishna appeared. Why? Yada yadahi dharmasya. Whenever dharma is on the decline, adharma is increasing, I come to protect the good and reduce the wicked. And that is the, and that's why he comes again and again, yuge yuge, in all faiths, in all cultures. He came as Buddha, he came as Christ, he came as Muhammad, he came as Shankaracharya, Gurudev. So again and again the Lord comes, Prannaji. So he comes again and again to re-establish this dharma. And he says, one who understands this, my divine nature, then becomes free. And what does he mean by that? Yes, Bhagavan Krishna or the Lord is great, but these divine qualities I need to bring in my life, the qualities of forgiveness that Jesus showed, or how Bhagavan Ramchandraji did his duty, or how all the great saints and sages, how they worked so hard and keeping the Lord in mind and working as the Lord's agent or servant, how they worked. So that attitude I have to bring in my life. And then Bhagavan says that there are some people who give up their negativities, purify their mind, and through austerities and through knowledge become one with me, but others do not. And why? Because the gain in this world is very quick. I go to work, I work 40 hours, I get a paycheck. I build a house, I can touch it, I can hold it. So this is something concrete. I buy a new dress or a jewelry. But this spiritual knowledge, how am I progressing? It's very subtle. And so people think it's too difficult. You know, you have to sit and meditate and you have to think and then you have to listen and read. It's okay, maybe after age 65 I'll do it. Or next life I'll do it. You know, for Hindus that's very convenient. This life I don't think I can do it. The point is that wherever you are and whatever situation you are, once you get this knowledge, change your life, bring it into your life. That is the essence of the teachings. And then Bhagavan also says that the four castes were made by me. By me means that throughout the world there are four class of people. There are the thinkers, there are the leaders or the politicians, there are the business people, and there are workers. But in India, unfortunately, it became by birth. That if my father is a Brahmin, I have to be a Brahmin, even though I don't know how to read or write. So Bhagavan says, guna karma vibhagashah. So these castes are based on guna, on qualities and karma. So then, last week we started the topic of karma and akarma. What is karma and akarma? And Bhagavan says, kavi api atra mohita. Even the wise people are deluded. And today I'll try my best to explain karma and akarma. These are very difficult verses. I'll do my best, and at the end, if you have any questions, because these are very, very, very powerful verses. So we'll do them today, where we will talk about karma. Because karma we are all doing. Even sitting here is a karma. You're sitting here, you're thinking, you're listening, your heart is beating, your lungs are breathing. So action is always going on. How to act? That is what Bhagavan Sri Krishna will tell us. So verse number 17, chapter 4. Karmano hyapi bodhavyam. Bodhavyam cha vikarmanah. Akarmanascha bodhavyam. Gahana karmano gatihi. Together, karmano hyapi bodhavyam. Bodhavyam cha vikarmanah. Akarmanascha bodhavyam. Gahana karmano gatihi. So he says, what is bodhavyam? Bodhavyam means should be known. And all of us should know. When I'm working, I should know what I'm doing. Anytime I take up a new job, they have an orientation, 2 weeks or 3 weeks, where they tell you, okay, in this job, this is what you are supposed to do. This is what you are not supposed to do. This is your job description, and that is another person's job. So this you should do, this you should not do, and this is the hours where you're supposed to work, and everything is told. So in this world, we have been placed in this karma bhumi, this world of karma, how to act. So it says, karmana hi api bodhavyam. So he means, indeed, it's very important to know karmana, of karma. What is karma should be known. Bodhavyam cha vikarmanah. Cha means and, vikarmana. So bodhavyam, it should be known what? Vikarmana, what I should not do. So what I should do and what I should not do should be known. And akarma, inactivity, cha bodhavyam. So even action, forbidden action and inaction, all three should be known. Why? Why is Bhagavan telling us this? Because gahana karmano gatihi. Karmana, the gati, the path of karma is gahana, is very subtle. It's not that easy. We say, it's easy. What karma means working. Karma means sitting. What is so big about it? Why a whole third chapter is given on karma, and even fourth chapter Bhagavan is talking about karma. So we'll see what is the difference between karma, vikarma, and akarma. So this chart is from Gurudev's commentary, where he says life is action. Without action, if we are not acting, then we need to be buried. If I'm not doing anything, then it is time for me to be buried or cremated and my life to end. So life means activity. Now there are two things. One is inactivity, akarma, not doing anything, which is not possible. To sit and do nothing, as I said, is not possible. Though inactivity in the next verse, is also explained in a different way, but we'll talk about that. But for here, our understanding is to work and then not to work. Like somebody who is sitting home, out on drugs and smoking and drinking and marijuana and on social security, welfare, world is taking care. That is akarma. Then there is vikarma. Vikarma means forbidden actions. That is not to be done. And then karma, which are actions to be done, are three kinds. Nitya, which are daily. Naimitya, which are special. And kamya, which are desire. So nitya means daily activities which are based on my situation. We'll talk about that. Like if I'm a student, what is my duty? If I'm a mother or a father, what is my duty? So, and daily duties. So what I should do every day. As I said, when you start a particular job, you are supposed to do certain duties for the company. So same thing for us. I have to get up in the morning, get ready, go to work, earn a living, and then I should do something, for serving others. I should do something to maintain my culture and tradition. I should study. I should teach my children. That is daily duty. Naimitya is special duties, like somebody's birthday or somebody is passed away. You go to express condolences, a wedding, or there is an emergency. There is a foreign invasion or some major problem has happened. So those special duties that we do is called naimitya. And then the third one is kamya, or desire prompted. So we'll talk about that. What do we mean by desire prompted actions? So karma is also divided into three. Not only karma, vikarma and akarma, but sanchit, prarabdha and agami karma. We have talked about that before. But sanchit is that in my previous lifetimes, I have done certain karmas in many lifetimes. So some of those karmas mature in this lifetime, which is called prarabdha or called destiny. They say, oh, my destiny is that. And then we blame some person sitting up somewhere, who is writing my destiny. It's nobody is writing. I have written my own destiny because of my past sanchit karmas. And so the prarabdha is that these sanchit karmas have fructified or matured. In this lifetime, they have appeared. And again, in this lifetime, I do certain karmas which mature later called agami. So some karmas mature right away. Like if I hit somebody with a car, with my car, I hit another person's car. Now what happens? There's damage to the car. Maybe somebody got injured. That result comes right away. My insurance premium goes up. So that result doesn't take very long. But on the other hand, if I plant a mango tree, the mango tree will give fruit after 10 years. So similarly, we find in life, some people are so wicked and we say, oh, he's so bad, but still he has so much money, he's enjoying life. But sooner or later, his karmas will catch up with him. There is no doubt about that. Nobody can escape. Whether you do good karmas, you will get the result. And most of the time in this lifetime itself, somebody who is very evil will find his old age is very miserable, his children will treat him badly, or something bad will happen. But if he escapes, then he gets caught in the next life. So as we said, any progress in this world is with karma. If I want to progress in anything, I have to work. All scientific achievements, all great progress, it happened, all the going into space and then going to the bottom of the ocean and physics and chemistry. Everything is because of action, because somebody sat down in a lab and thought about it. That is why all progress happened, because of karma. Without karma, there is no progress. That we all know. Because sitting a karma doing nothing, obviously there will be no progress. You will be stagnating. As Gurudev in his commentary says, a water sitting in one place starts smelling rotten, like a pond. But a river flowing, the Ganges or the Mississippi, the water is relatively clean because it is flowing. In the Vedic time, rituals, karma meant rituals. So you sit on the fire and then the Pandit puts offerings in the fire and chants mantras and said swaha, swaha. And so in the olden days, rituals were karma. Anybody, when they talked about karma, they meant rituals. But here, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is giving us a new definition of this word karma, which is more practical and useful for our life. Because we don't have time to sit for an hour and two and do rituals to purify the mind. We may do it on some special occasion. But by and large, what is karma? That is explained. And people think karma is only getting up and doing something. you know, I pick up a chair from there and put it here, it is karma. But the masters tell us that even thinking is a karma. When you think negative about somebody, or when you are, you may not say anything, but if you don't like somebody, sooner or later, that, because we are all telepathic and we can tell this person is thinking negative about me, or the person is, so it will show in your facial expressions, it will show in your eyes. And that's why when we are in the presence of people who are very agitated and very disturbed, you say, you know, it bothers me to be in his presence, because he's too disturbed, he has too much anger, too much hostility, too much negativity. So even though you may not say anything, but by your thoughts, by your expressions, we are able to affect other people. So that's why they say, shubh shubh socho, think positive. Think positive about yourself, think positive about myself. Like, you know, women who are pregnant, you know, they all the time, some of them are so worried. Oh, I don't know what will happen to my child. I know some lady who says, the fire in Northern California, air is so bad, I don't go anywhere. She's pregnant. I don't want anything to happen to my child. I mean, you take precautions. But if you're all the time thinking that something negative will happen to my child, negative will happen. So think positive. You know, Bhagavan has given me this child. He will be healthy. He will be good. And so if you think positive thoughts in pregnancy, read good books, you know, read spiritual literature, then all those thoughts, the child can feel them. So if you want your child to be positive, think positive. So that's why thinking is very important. And desire-prompted activities, kamya, can be of two kinds. One is a selfish desire, where it is for myself. I, myself, and my family, I and myself. Or it can be for others, where my desire is not only to help myself, but to help society. So that is a better desire, to help serve society. But ultimately, even that desire to serve goes away. That's why in these wise people or saints, they don't work. Yes, their underlying motive is to serve and help. But it is a spontaneous outflow of love and compassion, which we see in all these great saints. And that's why they have written all these big books and Bani and all the Bible and all the Bhagavad Gita and all of that, because it is their way of sharing their knowledge with us. And we talked about negative karmas, karmas that are prompted by desire, by anger, by fear, by greed, by jealousy. So those kind of karmas should be avoided. So if any time if I find that my mind is not at peace, then I should look carefully, what is my motive? So the motive is more important than the action itself. Because the same action, if the intention is good, it can be a good action. And the same action, we'll talk about that in the next verse, but just to briefly, like a mother scolding a child, it may look like a negative action, or if she is even punishing. But if she is doing it with the intention that my child should become a better individual, should not, you know, become, you know, he should study, he should do well in life. So it is the action, but more important than the action is the intention or the motive with which the person is doing the action. And as I said before, depending on our situation in life, the actions may, like a person who is studying, you know, brahmacharya ashram, then there is grahastha ashram, which is the married life, then there is vanaprastha, where we withdraw slowly from the family and spend more time in spiritual study, and ultimately sannyas, where now I have nothing to do with the world, my whole goal is to know God. So as we, so in brahmacharya, I should not do activities of grahastha. That means when I'm studying, I should not be indulging in other activities which are for a married couple. So that was the idea, you know, that as a student, your job is to study. Then as a grahastha, it is your duty to take care of your children, take care of your parents, take care of spiritual institutions and saints. And then as you are retiring and you have now given up the family, you're not working as much, so then slowly withdraw. You do not need to interfere in what the children are doing, grandchildren are doing. If they ask for advice, give it. Otherwise, spend your time in Bhagavan Chintan, remembering the Lord and studying. So slowly you have to withdraw. Otherwise, how long are we going to hold on? Because this world, the more you hold on, the more you will come back. The idea is that I'm done with this life and I want to stay with God. I do not want to come back. So a clear understanding of what the person is saying, what the teacher is telling us, is very important. I should have a clear understanding of what teacher is saying. So talking about clear understanding, I should understand what this person is saying. So this wife tells the husband, they have been married for about 8-10 months, about a year. And so she says, honey, we are two now, we will become three. He says, from two we'll become three. Wow, that's great. When? She said, next month my mother is coming to live with us. So clear understanding is very important. What this person is saying before you get too happy. So same way, what the teacher is telling us, we need to understand. So that's why Bhagavan says, I will tell you what is karma, what is action, what is forbidden action, and what is inaction.